I'm going to do something I rarely do in a sermon. I'm going to depart from the readings given to us today. Since we are commemorating the 4th of July, I thought it would be a good time to consider the topic of freedom. People generally use the word freedom in order to describe two things. The first is simply lack of subjection to any kind of ownership or tyrannical authority. And secondly, the lack of restriction of one's personal actions, the absence of obstacles to self-determination and personal choices, the right to make up one's own mind with regard to occupation, speech, assembly, religion, and so on. Naturally, this kind of freedom is desirable, and in many ways, our nation came into being out of a deeply felt need for this. Although throughout the course of our history, we have not always been able to achieve perfect freedom in the sense just described, it is nonetheless true that few would question the desirability of such freedom. Men and women are still willing to make enormous sacrifices, their very lives at times, for this ideal of freedom. Yet freedom in a Christian meaning differs from the individual do as I want sense of freedom that dominates our contemporary secular discourse. To be truly free in a Christian sense is to act in accord with the nature of God as God intended it, in accord with our truest human nature. We can turn to our catechism for a brief yet informative understanding of human nature and freedom. And now this is turning into class. I invite you to take the prayer book and turn to page 845 and consider the very first four questions in our catechism. And I'll ask the question and we can explore them together. What are we by nature? The answer says, we are part of God's creation, made in the image of God. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? It means that we are free to make choices, to love, to create, to reason, and to live in harmony with creation and with God. Why then do we live apart from God and out of harmony with creation? From the beginning, human beings have misused their freedom and made wrong choices. Why do we not use our freedom as we should?
Because we rebel against God and we put ourselves in the place of God.
And now I'd like to take each one of these ideas and open them up a little bit further. What are we by nature? We are part of God's creation made in the image of Christ. To say we're part set in God's creation puts us in a context. We are in relation to all that already exists. In the first chapter of the story of Genesis, God first creates light. God creates the sky and separates the land from the water. Then God creates plants, the stars and the moon, birds and creatures in the sea, every living thing, and then finally humankind. God says, "Let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness." I go through this to remind us that we are set within a created world and are the last beings created. We are created in the Imago Dei, the image of God, to be stewards of God's good creation. The second question, what does it mean to be created in the image of God? It means that we are free to make choices, to love, to create, to reason, and live in harmony with creation and God. As Christians, we believe it is through Christ that we have the ability to use our freedom correctly and in accordance with how God's very self acts in freedom. It is in Christ, as perfect man, that man comes to fully realize the realization of what it means to be in the image and likeness of God. For man's freedom is an icon, an image of divine freedom itself. Why then do we live apart from God and out of harmony with creation? From the beginning, human beings have misused their freedom and made wrong choices. In chapter 3 of Genesis, we see how human beings made wrong choices and violate God's intention of how we are to use our freedom. Adam and Eve violate God's will. Cain kills Abel, and the fall of humanity is upon us. But there is a remedy in the person of Christ who justifies us before God and reconciles us back to God. Christ teaches us that we are to use our freedom to submit our wills to God's wills. As we pray each week in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." Someone, when I was leaving my previous parish, gave me a little stone that had that engraved on it, and I keep it in my car right on my dashboard. It slides back and forth, but it's a good reminder, "Thy will be done." In each Christian's response to God saying, "Let thy will be done," we identify ourselves with the God-man Christ, and in this way, divine will. Freedom comes as an expression of one's own will. The will of God, his work, his freedom then becomes ours. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, says St. Paul in Galatians. Number 4, why do we not use our freedom as we should? Because we rebel against God and put ourselves in the place of God. Throughout history, we see how people commit the sin of idolatry by placing themselves in the place of God. In everyday ways, we fail to use our freedom as God intends by losing perspective of who we are and who God is. We violate the image of God within us, the divine spark that resides in each of us and calls us to be the best of ourselves. So given our truest nature, how do we break this cycle, misusing our freedom, and use it in ways that honor the imago Dei within each of us? Our passage from Galatians this morning may give us part of the solution. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for all those of the family of the faith. Here, Paul reminds us that seeking the good of others is the appropriate way to use our freedom and honor the imago Dei within us. Our bishop, Ian Douglas, says that one of the problems with our culture and in the Anglican Communion today is what he calls the tyranny of consensus, that somehow we are all to be in complete agreement on everything. If we cannot agree completely, then something is wrong. One of my mentors, Senator Frank Moss of Utah, used to say, "Where there is no controversy, there is no progress, whether for the individual or for the nation. Self is best served by transcending self." Forcing agreement on everything is contrary to the way we are made as unique and infinitely diverse people set within an infinitely diverse creation. Rather, we are called to work for the good of all and be willing to put aside our own desires for the well-being of others. This means good old-fashioned sacrifice, or simply using our judgment when to speak and when to be silent. For some reason today, we've grown weary of difference, of positions of various sides of the cultural divide. We cling to the notion that if someone wins, someone else must lose. That is dichotomous thinking and is destructive to the very fabric of society and will be the undoing of our freedom and our world. It also runs counter to God's intention for human freedom. We're not meant to see things the same and have complete and total consensus. That's why the framers of our great democracy, while supporting majority rule, built in systems to particularly care for minority voices in society. The minority voices in good government are to be protective, not overrun by a majority. Celebrating our freedom is to recognize it's not only about exercising my freedom by doing what I want to do, but more importantly, it is to make choices that benefit others and the image of God that resides in you, in me, and our brothers and sisters. This is true freedom. It is both fundamentally American and it is Christian. If you take nothing with you today, I want you to remember, as we honor the freedoms we enjoy in this great land, that in our Christian context, humanity's true freedom is an icon. Our freedom is the very image of God's divine freedom itself within us.